Muskegon. Welcome to the Credit Guy Show. I'm Dave Sullivan, a.k.a. the Credit Guy, and we will be helping you to transform your credit.
Now, here's your Credit Guy, Dave.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Lady J. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good. I like that, having my commercial right before the intro. Yeah, that's very cool.
Is it?
Yeah. And the show is brought to you by First General Credit Union. We are also live on Periscope. If you want to put in your questions there, we're going to have an Ask the Credit Guy show today. But if you want to call in, we'd love to have a live question at 231-722-8338. That's 231-722-8338. Otherwise, we're going to read off a few questions. But first, I wanted to talk a little bit about the job fair, Lady J, that you guys had for the station. How did that go?
Great turnout.
Yeah.
I think they got a lot of people to come.
Sure.
And I think that a lot of people walked away with a lot of information.
And you had businesses there that were looking for people to hire?
Yeah, we had about a good 28 to 29 businesses.
Sure.
Yep.
And they were all types of jobs, right?
I mean, healthcare to the city of Muskegon to the state police, all kinds of jobs.
Wow. So maybe future policemen were there.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It might be.
That's great. So we also had a pretty big event over at First General Credit Union along with Western Michigan Christian School. We put on a career reality fair, and of course I had a lot of stress over that because I wasn't sure how it would go, and it was our first one, but it really came off without a hitch. I'm very excited about how it came together. We had somebody from MLive Muskegon there.
Nice.
They took some photos. We had the mayor, Stephen Garwin, there, the mayor of Muskegon, and he had a great little speech about his personal life and how budgeting is so important. And then we kind of related it to the budget of the city and how much it's similar. I mean, when you think about running a city or a budget or an enterprise or a business for that matter, budgeting and looking at the numbers is really a key factor, don't you think?
I truly do. I mean, it's a lot more than just prioritizing what you have. It's prioritizing the money on what you have.
Sure.
So it's a big difference.
Yeah, and we've got a I took a lot of video, as you can imagine, while I was there, and we've got a great video. We've had a few time-lapse videos already up on the Facebook page, but we're going to have more. And I just finished up last night an awesome video. And it had some kids in it with a little bit of an interview. And one of them, you know, they talked about how they're going to be in law enforcement and what his budget was and what his take-home pay was. And he learned how it's important to get the housing and the essentials out of the way first before you spend money on the fun stuff, is what he said.
Yeah.
And so cute. You know, kids that age are awesome. And then another girl was talking about how she was going to live with her mom because it's cheaper and she doesn't have to spend money on utilities. And of course, that she loved her, right? I mean, that was another reason she wanted to live with her, which I had to remind her of after she was done. But it was just so much fun to work with kids like that. And one thing that we did differently than other credit unions have done is that we had the volunteers at the booth be the seniors and juniors of the high school. Because they're all in the same building, we were able to do that. We had a business and a marketing class come in and help us. And some of the students were really great. I mean, they really got into it, which, you know, really made the event fun.
That's nice.
We had some guys work in the charity booth, and they were hilarious. And you could tell they were good friends for a long time, but they were just really trying to get people to donate money and, you know, trying to, you know, the goal of the people at the booth, of course, is to get people to spend more money.
Right.
We don't tell the kids that. We just tell the kids, you know, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So what they wind up with at the end is a budget that's a little tighter than they first realized. And then they kind of go back and make some adjustments. And that's the value of it, is realizing that, you know, people go to college and they take on all this debt at a young age. They don't realize, you know, the choices that they're making. And then what is it like to live with that? Like, if you become a doctor, you could wind up with $250,000 in debt. And what does that payment look like compared to your first year salary? I mean, you think you're going to become a doctor and then hit the lottery. That's just not how it works.
Right.
And even if you go for a regular degree now, you're looking at $60,000-$70,000 in some cases. You know, if you go to Michigan State and you have to pay your own way or get a loan for everything, you wind up with a considerable debt.
Yes, and that's very true.
That's what we were trying to do, is get kids to realize that, hey, you know what, if you go for a four-year degree and you're not really determined and you haven't really committed to what you want to do, it might be better. You might be better off spending a couple of years at community college and living with mom. So that's something that I did. My first year, I went to community college. My daughter went to a two-year community college, and she got her degree for less than we spent for 1 year of high school.
Oh, wow.
At a private school, yeah. So she got a two-year degree, which then transfers anywhere. She hasn't gone on from that, but that's fine. I mean, she didn't really know what she wanted to do. So go to community college. Keep the brain working that way, because I don't know about you, but at my age, I don't think I could go back, you know. Go back into school.
I've seen a lot of people that are older than me,
yeah,
that actually go ahead and they tackle it. Yeah. A lot of the classes that I had, they had older people in it.
I'd love to go back and do that. I just don't know if I could get my head around it. I mean, I struggled with tests. It always seems like I would overstudy, and then I'd get in there, and even one time I would like help a roommate get through something, and then I went to the test and got that thing wrong. You know, it's just, oh, no. I didn't test well, and it was really traumatic for me to go through that. But I did make it, you know, but it was a traumatic experience for sure.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The tests, they mess with your psyche.
They do.
Oh, no.
It's yeah, for me especially. But did you find that, did you study and did you take tests well? Are you a good test taker?
I've always been real well with books. So yeah. School has really never been a problem.
Really?
Yeah. That's just me, though.
Struggled, and I just never understood working so hard and not getting paid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had a problem with that.
That is a big thing.
Yeah, and I had things that I needed in my life, and working that hard for nothing, or to pay someone else and to work that hard.
You know, I bet if they paid you after taking the test, you probably
might do better.
Exactly.
I don't know. Depends on how much they paid, I guess, and what I could get with that. But just want to remind everybody, if you do want to call in to 231-722-8338. You can give me a call live. Otherwise, we're going through the questions that came in on YouTube. We'd love to hear from you, or on Periscope. So you can certainly tune in that way as well. Lady J, did you find a good question that we could kind of sink our teeth into?
I believe so. They said, I went to the hospital in 2012, and my insurance paid my bill in full and never got a bill. In 2014, I went back to the hospital, and when I went to ask about my new hospital, I was informed about two old accounts for small amounts of money that they sold to collections. This has hurt my credit, and my credit score have changed.
Yeah, a very common problem. You know, people go into medical facilities, and they have some work done, and they have insurance, and they give them the information, and then they leave, and then a lot of times they won't hear back from them except for when they go to pull their credit report. When they pull their credit report, they find these collections on there from a medical procedure from years ago. And it does impact your score considerably. A recent collection will pull your score down quite a bit. And there is new legislation. There was an agreement with the New York State Attorney and the repositories that they are going to hold on to medical debt for 6 months before they report it. So there is some improvement going on from that perspective. Medical debt in a year or so would probably not show up as quickly as it has in the past. So you've got these two collections on your credit report. You thought it was covered by insurance, and maybe it was, and there was a billing error. So now what do you do? First thing you do, you have to reach out to the creditor. Reach out to the creditor and say, look, I don't know what this is. I think it was a billing error. Can we get this resolved? And a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, you just need to pay your bill. Well, then what you should say is, look, this should have been paid by my insurance. I was told it was. If it's not, I need to know that I need to pay it. And if I do, will you remove it? You have to ask them to remove the debt like it was never there. That should be always, whenever you're dealing with a collection company, ask them to remove it because you weren't properly notified or whatever the truth is. But if you found medical debt on your credit report and that's the first time you saw it, you are not properly notified. They are required by law to send something to you in writing before it shows up on your credit report. So reach out to that collection company and say, look, this is the first I've seen it. I would like to take care of it, but it's really pulling down my credit score, and I am concerned about that. What would you take, or would you consider removing it because it wasn't properly reported to me, removing it from my credit report and not showing it there, and give me a letter that states that it was reported an error? That's very important that you get a letter from them that says this was reported an error, the account number on company letterhead with a signature. So once you take that letter, you can go then to the repositories. But you get from them if they're willing to do it. Now, sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. The problem with this is the more that they go back to the repository with an error and then ask it to be removed, the less likely they are going to do that. One of the reasons that is because if they constantly go back to the repository, which is the three major repositories are TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, they gather the information, and then when you pull your credit report, they provide the information. So these collection companies have these relationships with people, with the repositories, and they want to have a good relationship. Well, if they keep going back to the repository with an error, they're like, why are you reporting all these errors to us? Maybe we'll cut you off. And that's not what they want. They want to be able to report accurate information. So if you go to them and you say, look, I'll pay for this, but I wasn't properly notified. Can you remove it? Then if they say no, say, well, maybe I shouldn't pay this then. Maybe I'll just dispute it. Or maybe I should go to the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and make a complaint against you there. I mean, you don't want to threaten anybody, but I mean, you need to let them know what your next moves are. And the CFPB is an agency that's been created to help consumers, to help protect them. And one of the good things that they've done is they've gone after creditors and they've gone after the repositories and they've held their feet to the fire a little bit. So they're a little more responsive now than they used to be, the repositories are. So that is a great thing for them to know. And all of the collection companies are aware of the CFPB. They're all very aware of them. So when you approach them, and if they won't do a pay for delete, if you weren't properly notified, then I would let it sit for a little while and then go back to them. Ask for that again. If they still won't do it and you really want to get it wrapped up, say, look, I'm not sure what this is. It should have been paid by insurance. I will offer you 10% of the total amount and for a paid in full letter from you. So again, get documentation from them that states it's paid in full, okay? Or settle for less than full balance, but it's a zero balance. That's the key. On company letterhead signed by an individual. That's what you want. Once you get that letter, you can then go to the repositories and straighten it out. But I tell people, don't go to the repositories first. Go to the creditor first. And then work your way back to the repository. Hopefully you'll get some solution. Once you have that letter that's paid in full or reported an error, you then go to the repositories, all three of them, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. And then you show them the documentation and they will remove it or show it at least as paid. You want to do that so that time goes by. So you don't want to do that right before a mortgage. You want to do that months before a mortgage. If you want to get a mortgage in 6 months, you want to do that now and then wait 6 months to get the mortgage. You don't want to do that right before the mortgage because right now on the current FICO scoring model that all the lenders are using, that will bring your score down. The more recent a collection, paid or unpaid, the more relevant, I should say, it is to the scoring model. So again, keep that in mind when you think about paying a collection. Do you want to pay it off now, or do you want to and then get a mortgage right away? Then that might not be the best move. And again, you can always reach out to First General Credit Union. We have George Cannon over there, who is our master of mortgages, and he will be happy to sit down with you. So before you make any moves with a collection and you're thinking about getting a mortgage, definitely talk to George over at First General, 1stgeneral.com. You know, I wanted to say one more quick thing before we go into the break is, a lot of people will say follow your passion, and I kind of disagree with that. I think you should find passion in what you're doing. I didn't start out wanting to be the VP of marketing at a credit union, but I found passion and I brought passion into that job, and I think that that's what you can do too. Find something that you're good at, or find something that there's a need for, and then bring your passion to that. That's what I'm doing here on the radio, and I know that's what Lady J is doing as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So if you want to call in after the break, 231-722-8338, or we're going to read some more YouTube questions, or check us out on Periscope. If you zoom in on the map to Muskegon, I think we're probably the only person Periscoping right now in Muskegon, so you can find us that way as well. All right, welcome back. I'm glad that we're here in Muskegon. It's kind of a cloudy day today, a little overcast. Hopefully the sun will come out. This is a great place to live when it's sunny, but there's a lot of cloudy days too, wouldn't you say?
Yes, but I do enjoy the beach when it is sunny.
Oh, yeah. I drive right by the beach on the way here, and in the morning, sometimes there's one or two people parked there, and then in the afternoon, sometimes on nice days, there's some people parked there, but I am looking forward to some sunny weather here. I've been out here since January, and it's been very cloudy.
Yes.
During that time, even in the winter, it seems like is it the moisture from the lake that gets picked up?
Well, yeah, I guess it's the lakefront effect, the waterfront effect.
Yeah, lake effect.
Yeah.
Snow, but lake effect clouds as well. So I want to remind everybody, if you want to call in live, if you're in Muskegon, 231-722-8338, or live on Periscope, if you want to ask a question, we will answer them as we go. The show is brought to you by First General Credit Union, my favorite credit union in Muskegon. I think it's going to be, we've got some great things going on over there, one of which is the Credit Launcher Program, a program that I created. I'm very proud of it. I know that there are other people who are benefiting from it, and look forward to finding out exactly how well it performs. We've had some early reports back from some people who are related to people who work at the credit union, and it's been very positive. So in just a few months with that installment loan, which is part of the Credit Launcher Program, it's really helping people. And that's kind of the key for the Credit Launcher. It's installment and revolving together, and there's a few other things that I'll keep under my hat, but if you want more information about that, you can go over to 1stgeneral.com and find out how to use that. It's really something that I wish existed, and hasn't up until this point, so I was finally able to get my hands on the controls and create my own program. So we were talking about collections, and if one shows up, and then if they don't send you the letter. So the key is to get documentation from them. But what if they don't provide it? I would tell you don't pay until you get the letter, unfortunately. If you're going to pay something, you need to get what you need first before you pay. Because once you pay, it's going to be very hard to get hold of those people.
So how does it go when you're disputing and say it's in the middle of dispute, but they put it back on.
Yeah.
And they don't have the documentation.
Right. So you've disputed something, let's say, with the repository, and they respond back with, oh, it's valid, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's going to be their default. They're not going to try to provide anything. So next you have to go to validation of debt letter. So you go to validation of debt letter, you send that to them. And then you keep all the responses. So everything that they send back to you, you hold on to. If they don't provide that original written document that you signed to agree to that debt, then it should come off your credit report. Now, they're going to respond back with maybe a printout. So then what do? You respond back again. So this is not a short-term fix, I usually tell people.
Oh, no.
You've got to endure. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So you've got to endure this and keep all your documentation. And if they don't give you the proper documentation, then you go back to them again. And you say, look, this is not the proper documentation. I have, you know, a right to the original document that I signed. If you cannot provide it, then I will be disputing this again, and I will be going to the CFPB because you're not properly providing documentation that I'm requesting in writing. So see how they respond to that. And usually they'll respond, you know, in some way, either written or over the phone at that point. If they still don't give you anything, then you have to do what I just said.
Call the CFPB.
Call the CFPB, file a complaint, list out all the contact information, and also let the repositories know that you filed that. And if there's a reference number, reference that and dispute it again. At that point, and the repositories are much better now than just a few years ago at investigating that. I mean, they're going to then go to the creditor and say, look, obviously, this person's serious about this. They want to find the original document. Do you guys have it or not? So they'll be looking for that kind of validation. So they won't be just going off that. And it's a long-term slog that you have to go through, unfortunately.
And that's for each credit company, right?
Well, so, right. So you're going to the creditor, and then, you know, that creditor might not report to all three bureaus. So you've got to focus on the ones that they're reporting on, obviously. So if they're only reporting to one or two, then you just have to go back to TransUnion and Experian, let's say, and not Equifax, and dispute with them and let them know what's going on.
Nice.
So even though you've originally disputed it with the repository, that doesn't mean it's over. More than likely, I would say 80% of those come back valid. So it comes back on your credit report.
Right.
That's why going to a credit repair company, I believe, is such a mistake. Their whole strategy is to dispute everything on the credit file, and then it goes away for a month, and then 80% of them in 45 days get validated, and then they come back on the credit report. So you're back where you were, and all you did was spend money with a credit repair company. So
yeah, they really didn't help you out. It seemed like they did, but at the end of the day, you paid
right.
for nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you're paying for things that really you can take care of yourself. So there's no reason to pay anyone to do that. Lady J, you got another question?
I believe I do. I recently pulled my credit report and have a disputed 3 negative reports. I disputed a negative report from Experian, and the result was that it was deleted. However, that same negative account is on my Equifax report. Since it was deleted off Experian, will it fall off Equifax? And how long would one have to wait for the update where that account is?
So another good question about kind of collections and how do you handle those. So she successfully disputed one with one of the three repositories. Now, they don't communicate. They're, you know, individual companies. So even though you may have been successful at one, it doesn't mean necessarily that you'll be successful at the other one. But you do have to do the same process at all three. You can't just do it at one and hope that the other two pick it up, because that's not going to happen. You've got to take that original documentation and then provide it to the other bureau. Now, the other bureau, they might have standards that are different than the first bureau. So you might successfully take it off one and then not successfully take it off the other one. So, you know, you just need to know that each individual repository is a separate database, and you've got to address it that way. So
I have a question.
Sure.
You always talk about the FICO score. Does the FICO score stand for anything in particular?
Yeah. The FICO score is a credit score model developed by two guys, one named William Fair and Bill Isaac. So that's where the Fair Isaac came in from. So it's a couple guys' last name, and then they shortened it to FICO. And that's their ticker symbol right now. You can buy shares on it on the New York Stock Exchange. But FICO is a company that they started out of the garage with $400, and it's grown into like a $900 million a year business for them. And what they're trying to do is predict future behavior. So one guy was a mathematician, another guy was an engineer, and they created these mathematical formulas in the 50s to try and predict people's behavior, not just their shopping or repayment behavior, but all behavior. So they were very early in that process with very basic kind of computing power, but they were able to create this model, which is strictly looking at your likelihood to repay a debt. So if you know, they're looking at your past credit behavior and trying to predict the likelihood that you'll pay in the future for future debt. And it doesn't look at your address or your income or your age or your race or where you live or anything like that. It only looks at how have you paid in the past and how will you pay in the future. And I really think it's a good model. And it's not trying to say this person's good, this person's bad. It's just ranking the order of risk for the lender. So if the lender says, I'd like to lend money to this person, what is the likelihood or what is the risk associated with that? And that's what they provide. So somebody who had a credit score in the 700s, you might have 25 good loans for every bad loan. But somebody in the, let's say, 600, one good loan for every bad loan. So it doesn't necessarily mean foreclosure, but there's going to be a collection problem with that loan. So that's kind of FICO. And the FICO ranges are all pretty much 300 to 850. That's the normal range of score. Now, why wouldn't they be 1 to 10 or 1 to 1,000, right?
Well, I think 1 to 10 is a lot easier than 1 to 1,000, but yeah.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be 1 to 10 or A, B, C? Well, they wanted more degrees, I think. And I think originally they may have had a range that did go from 1 to 1,000. But when you get on the edges of the scoring model, things become out of whack a little bit. So they kind of took off the bottom half, and then they took off the top half and kind of capped it at 850. Because you can get to 850, but you can't go any higher. You know, maybe they have more points in there somewhere where you could go higher, but they just don't let you know about it, and they cap you at 850. So, one of the most popular videos I have is about the 7 steps to a perfect credit score. And one of the key things in that, if you do want to get to 850, is to have a long credit history. So you need to have like a 20, 25, 30-year account on there somewhere. And that's the only way you can get to the very top. But, you know, like at the credit union, anything above 720, 730, it's not going to matter. So once you get to 720, 730, 760, the additional points that you are concerned about are probably just for bragging rights. You know, that's what the guys want to talk about at the over the fence.
You know, it's so interesting that you were talking about how they... one was a mathematician and how mm-hmm. they predicted the scores. Like, I use Credit Karma on a regular basis.
Yep.
And it always tells you, like, well, this is your percentage of you actually paying a bill on time or this bill on time. I'm like, mm-hmm. wow. Like,
yeah.
How they factor that in is just absolutely crazy to me.
Yeah. They have run all the models and tested that all out. And it's been proven over years, and they've upgraded the models as we go. And I think part of the confusion around credit scores is there's been a lot of changing, and even FICO, they have 55 different models of credit score, and they're not all based on 300 to 850. Some of them are 250 to 900. Vantage, which is a competitor to FICO, they had 501 to 990 for a while, created a lot of confusion around credit scores and credit scoring. And self-inflicted completely. And I mean, I don't even know why now they would have an auto score have a different range than the one that everybody else in the mortgage business
uses. See, that's what makes it complicated.
Yeah. I mean, and you just have to know, like, if you're out on Credit Karma, you're getting a Vantage score.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the difference between Vantage 2.0 and 3.0 are considerable, right? So 2.0 Vantage score, 501 to 990, 3.0 Vantage score, 300 to 850. So they adopted the FICO scoring range that everybody knows what it is. But if you're looking at your Credit Karma report, you've got to look at the fine print and see what version it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a version, a FICO, a Vantage version 2.0, and you scored 700, you could have a 500 FICO score. You know, that's just the differences in the range.
Yeah. Yeah, I normally look at it, and just from doing the credit launcher program this weekend,
mm-hmm.
I actually was surprised because my actual credit score was higher than the one on Credit Karma. I'm like, I can deal with that.
Yeah, that's always good news, right? Higher. Lower is always bad.
Yeah.
You know, I had, we actually had a couple reports pulled in our office, one through a dealer system and then one from us. And the scores were different, like 30, 40 points different. And the lady brought them over to me and said, hey, how come these are different? I said, well, give me both reports. I can usually figure it out. Didn't take very long because one was an auto score and one was a mortgage type score.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what it was. So, you know, the first thing I look at when I look at two credit reports, I'm going to compare them, is how was the data entered? You know, was it entered the same? Because entering the name is the most important thing when you pull credit. It's not the social. It's the name, address, date of birth, and then social. So it's the fourth most important thing. If the name is different, if you don't have a middle name in there, you know, you're getting data that might not be accurate. So when I'm looking at two reports, I'm looking first at the name. How did you enter the name? Then I'm looking at the address. And then I'm looking at the date of birth, if it was in there. And then I look at the social. So that's the first thing I compare. And then I go through the report. Now, if you're looking at two different repository reports, what you're looking for is the differences between them. One creditor might not report to all three bureaus. So that's what I look for as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So this is the credit guy, Dave Sullivan here for First General Credit Union. Love being on the radio with you, Lady J. It's always an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you.
Future Emmy Award-winning Lady J. I'm going to say that every time until it happens.
Every time, I know.
Until it happens.
And
then you have to thank me from your speech.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
All right. And every Wednesday at 10 o'clock, 10 to 10:30, we're going to be talking about credit. If you want to call in at that time, that would be great. Otherwise, you can always check us out at 1stgeneral.com. Definitely check out the website. We're going to have a video for the, which I think is a great video. I've been working on it for a couple nights now, for the Career Reality Fair. And we hope to do more of those in the future. And if you are with a school and you'd like to do it, please reach out to me. dsullivan@1stgeneral.com is my email. And Lady J, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. I learned so much from you every Wednesday.
Good, good. So we'll talk to you next time.